92.3 WTTS. On demand.
A real pleasure to read this book. You got to like anything that starts with a quote from a Nico song.
Thank you for pointing that out, because that quote jumped out at me when I heard it at the beginning of my book, You Are Beautiful and You Are Alone. That is the Lena Horne story.
And I, read through this with some interest. There are a couple of things I'd specifically like to ask you about, one being that you've done such interesting artist profiles for, for example, people like Nina Simone, and Lena Horne certainly fits in that continuum. I noticed that you did an interview with her, a fairly significant one, in 1994. And was this something that you had, did you come at this with kind of a lump in the throat, a real familiarity with her, or was it kind of just startling to be with an American icon for you?
It was my idea entirely, because she had been a fascination of mine since I was a child and fell in love with singers. And all of the darkness, all of the mystery that I sensed in her, and all of the conflict were very moving to me. And when she made her final renaissance in 1994 and was going to play Carnegie Hall and had a new album coming out and so forth, I jumped at the chance to spend some time with her. And the New York Times let me do it, and she let me do it. And I had 2 hours with Lena Horne in a hotel room in Midtown Manhattan, and it remains the most exciting interview experience I've ever had.
How do you think you were able to enter the inner sanctum? What made Lena decide to go for this?
Well, it was the New York Times, after all.
Sure.
And she had to do press, although she was reluctant, to promote this whole comeback. And she did say yes to a few things at that time. I was one of them. And when she was with me, I know that she felt, because she said so, that I knew a lot about her and that I cared. And I was 30 at that time, and she was 76. And to be in a room with this deity, basically,
mm-hmm.
and have her reflecting, confiding, ruminating about her life with me was tremendously exciting to me. And I didn't know at the time that 10 years later I would start turning it into a book.
We're talking to author James Gavin about his book, Stormy Weather, The Life of Lena Horne. What is it, considering that you've profiled Nina Simone as well, what is it about performers like Nina Simone, Lena Horne, Eartha Kitt, African-American performers in the mid-40s and 50s, what is that specific allure that we see in them?
Conflict, trouble, victory over odds that are probably worse than most of us can ever deal with in our lives. It's tremendously empowering to read the stories of people who have been through hell and who have created great art out of it and who have survived. I think survival is at the heart of it, because that's something that we can all, part of us, identify with. Just, it gives us hope that we can make it through when these people have been through forms of hell that most of us will never experience.
Mm-hmm. I think also going from your book title, Stormy Weather, and also that being one of Lena Horne's best-known songs, I don't know if this is something you're familiar with, but something I was really amused to read years ago was that the original Dave Brubeck Quartet, when they would perform live, Paul Desmond would tend to quote other songs, reacting to the circumstances, the environment, whether there was a really attractive girl in the front row, and if it was raining outside, he would be known to play Stormy Weather as just a quick 8 bars on the sax.
I never knew that. And
yeah.
The Dave Brubeck Quartet was super cool. Paul Desmond was a super cool player. And those guys, especially those California cats, were not known to show a lot of pain in their playing. I would love to hear Paul Desmond play Stormy Weather.
Yeah, he wouldn't do it much, but if they were in the middle of another song, he would just throw in a quick little quote of it, just as sort of a, are you guys paying attention? And then he'd go back into his solo.
Well, that's hilarious. Lena Horne inherited the song Stormy Weather from Ethel Waters, who was mad as hell. Ethel had introduced it at the Cotton Club. Ethel's career was, in a few years after that, not in the greatest of shape. She was in decline, and here came this beautiful, fine young thing who everyone was fussing about, who seemed to be stepping into her shoes and was singing her song. And Ethel Waters was furious and hated Lena Horne as a result.
92.3 WTTS, talking to James Gavin about the book Stormy Weather, The Life of Lena Horne. It is interesting, too, because you reveal something I know I wasn't aware of, and there may be other people that were, but you were really surprised me with the information that the Janet Jackson Super Bowl appearance, the legendary wardrobe malfunction, had an effect on a possible Lena Horne biographical film. Is that correct?
Did it ever? Yes, around 2003, 2004, it was announced that Janet Jackson would be playing Lena in an ABC TV biopic. Lena had agreed to this, I believe, half-heartedly. She liked Janet Jackson, I am told, but the thought of Lena's life being trotted out for public consumption, especially when Lena's own life was not something that she enjoyed looking back on, I think she had extremely mixed feelings about. And I believe that the Janet Jackson scandal at the Super Bowl gave Lena her out, and she was able to pull the plug on this project. That's just my theory.
Mm-hmm.
The public announcement was that she would not go forward with this if Janet Jackson were the star, and the whole thing fell to pieces.
When you got in the process of researching and putting this together, the book, which I also understand had the approval of Lena's daughter, Gail Buckley, as well.
Yeah.
What were one of the more surprising things? I'm sure there were a bunch of surprises you found in this, but which one really stuck out to you as one that, you know, maybe you could give away before people read the book?
No, the one that makes me the saddest in the way is the fact that Lena Horne had been through so much hell from the beginning of her memory onward that none of this was very much fun for her. For someone who gave such tremendous empowerment and inspiration to us and delight to this day, who has moved us so much, as she said to me, I was never able to enjoy this damn thing. It was always a struggle, a fight, and nothing that came showering upon her, no amount of glory or acceptance was ever going to make up for the hell that she had been through.
How long did it take you? We're talking to James Gavin, 92.3 WTTS, about the book Stormy Weather, The Life of Lena Horne. How long did it take you to write the book from its conception to final draft and publication?
I signed to do the book in June of 2004, and the book came out in June of 2009, which is an improvement for me. I wrote a book about Chet Baker prior to this, and that one took 6 years. So
maybe by the time
I die, I'll have a few more left in me. I hope so.
I love that Chet Baker book. That's why when I saw you were the author of this, I knew I had to take a look at it. So.
Thank you so much. I love it, too. It was a heavy going for a lot of people. That's a dark story, man. I'm deeply attracted to the dark side of human psychology, but it's a scary place for a lot of people to go.
When you look at the Lena Horne story, having now written this and knowing that, you know, biopics have been shot down about Lena Horne, do you get the feeling that... you know, like seeing the movie Ray was a little difficult for me because Ray Charles' story is so huge that I don't think a 2-hour movie can contain it. Do you get a similar vibe about the Lena Horne story?
What they would have to do is zero in on an episode of Lena Horne's life, because there are many movies encased in the Lena Horne story. So they would have to take a period. The Janet Jackson project would have focused on a specific 2 or 3 year period of Lena's life in the early 40s. That's what they would have to do for this. I pray to God that it happens, because nobody can play Lena Horne. But that said, it would take a woman of a beautiful black woman of great majesty on stage to in any way pull this off. It's, you know, I pray that it reaches the screen. I would love it. There are people trying to make it happen right now.
There is a regality about Lena Horne that is very hard for any actress or actor, for that matter, to replicate, I think.
But she's also a quite intimidating figure on stage. She was glamorous, she was grand, she was haughty. She had many barriers around her that she had built up in order to protect herself from insults, from pain, from indignities. And she was formidable. I don't know who could quite capture it. The times are so different now. The times that created that Lena Horne have, thank God, gotten a little better in this day and age. But there's really nobody who can compare to her.
It is a very tricky thing reading this and realizing how much work had to have gone into this. And I'm also curious about your specific point of entry. I know that my fascination with Lena Horne started with her Grammy wins for her Broadway show in the early 80s. Was that your point of entry, or had you been a fan before that?
I was a fan of hers from the time I was a little boy, from maybe 9 or 10 years old. And I discovered, actually, it's a little later than that. I can pinpoint it to 1976 when she had made a new album, which was called Lena, A New Album, in London with a beautiful orchestra and Phil Woods playing the saxophone.
Great guy.
It was a tender, sad, beautifully moving album that made a big impact on me that I play to this day. So I first learned about the tender, vulnerable Lena Horne, but then I learned about the steely, the imperious Lena Horne, the haughty, the brittle ones, all the other faces of Lena Horne, and I thought there's got to be some hell of a psychological fable in these recordings.
It's interesting that you mentioned Steely too, because that's Lena Horne and Steely Dan have Phil Woods in common as a sax player.
Never knew that Phil played with Steely Dan. Of course, I revere Steely Dan. How could I not? They're playing at the Beacon Theater, which is right in my neighborhood here in New York. I really got to get myself to see
I
them.
was going to ask if you'd seen any of the shows, actually.
Steely Dan? No, I think they play the Beacon about once a year, and I have not ever been to see Steely Dan live, but I think that Steely Dan is needless to say, a historic band. My God, they were brilliant.
I think if you're wanting to track down the Phil Woods performance, I think he is on Dr. Wu, and I think it's one of those one-take performances where he just nailed it, and they were so stunned they asked him to do it again.
What album is that on?
Dr. Wu is, I want to say that is the Royal Scam.
Yeah, well, Phil Woods he carries on, and he's really one of the last survivors of the second generation great Beboppers, and I interviewed Phil Woods about Lena Horne, and his experience of recording with her in 1976 is something that he is still in awe of. It's one of the greatest recording experiences he ever had, he told me.
I talked to Bill Cosby about a year ago, and we discussed the Cosby Show and the appearance of some of the jazz luminaries and that, and Lena Horne's performance on the Cosby Show for Cliff's birthday. I always thought was a great it's a performance. I got the sense she wasn't as fond of, but I always liked it.
Lena did that show in 1985, very soon after she had come off the road. She'd been on the road with her one-woman show, The Lady and Her Music, well, she'd started doing it on Broadway in 81. And she came back and she looked if not more beautiful than ever. But by that time, she was beginning to disappear. She was tired. Her voice was not what it was at that point. And about 3 or 4 years later, she had her first of, I believe, to date, four pacemakers installed. Can you believe it?
Man.
That is the kind of survivor this woman is, that in 2009, at the age of 92, four pacemakers later, extremely fragile though she is, something in her will not let go.
I appreciate you, James Gavin, taking the time to talk to us about Stormy Weather, the life of Lena Horne, and keep in touch with us and let us know about it, when it comes to soft cover, your next project, whatever you'd like to do.
I loved it. You are really good. You asked some hip questions. This was fun.
I appreciate it, and good luck with the book tour, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
I look forward to it as well.
All
Thanks.
right. Bye-bye.
92.3 WTTS. On demand.